Let's turn to Matthew 18, and we're going to read from verse 15 down to verse 20. And while you're thumbing that up, I'll just have another sip of this wonderful Bangor spring water. There we are. Beautiful. You have the words on the screen, and we have perhaps our Bibles in front of us too. Let's listen to the reading of God's word. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, in these precious moments that we have together tonight to listen to the reading of your word and to consider it together, we pray that you will speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you'll give us ears to hear what you are saying to us and the readiness and willingness and faith to respond to that. And through our encounter with you tonight, Lord, we pray that you will build your church. You will build our faith. You will build us in Christ-likeness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you like titles for messages, the one I've given tonight is The Power of Authority, Alignment, and Authenticity. Three A's, quite handy, I thought. We'll look at that together as we go through these verses tonight. There are only three times in all of the Gospels when the word church is used by Jesus. One of them in Matthew 16:18, where he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The other two are right here in this passage. He mentions the kingdom many, many times, but church, very few times. And interestingly, he says that only he can build it. Not even brilliant pastors can build churches, but we can all seek first his kingdom and righteousness. That's a job for everyone. But building the church, that's the job of Jesus. And these second and third references seem to be in a context of a disagreement in the body of Christ. I'm going to talk about that a little bit and then go on to talk more specifically about the power of authority, alignment, and authenticity. What did Jesus mean by church? Well, quite simply, he used a word that had very common usage. Called out ones, the gathered ones, the assembled people. It was used in secular terms of a gathering of local council. It's been Christianized in the New Testament as being a description of gathering together the people who know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And this ecclesia is being built by Jesus, and even the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. So no government can, no legislation can, no opposition can, because Jesus will build his church. At the moment, the church is growing powerfully in the southern hemisphere, mostly in developing nations. And now, for the first time in many, many generations, 61% of the world's Christians are non-white. Something is stirring, maybe not all in Wales, but across the world, Jesus is building his church. So what are the defining characteristics of this wonderful thing called church? Well, it exists whenever people gather together who own him as Savior and Lord. And because Jesus is in the heart of this community, it will be empowered by his life and by his spirit. Church is centered around Jesus. It's not a club, a committee, a self-interest group. It's the gathering of the called out ones. Is it possible for Jesus to be absent from a community of Christians? Revelation 3:20, the letters to the seven churches, the one to Laodicea, very affluent church, very able, very competent, but described by Jesus in the letter to them as being lukewarm. And worthy of being actually spewed out because they were lukewarm. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and commune with you and you with me. It's the only one of the seven churches where Jesus is depicted as being outside the church. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering. Sometimes we play at being church. When we're just a group of like-minded people having fun together. But actually, we are the ecclesia, the called out one. So in our passage today, we see Jesus' role in building his church. The three drivers for its effective life. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Authority. Alignment. If two of you agree. Authenticity. Verse 20. There am I with them. Let's look first of all at the power of authority. Because this brings heaven's rule to earth. The power of authority in the body of Christ brings heaven's rule to earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, there are occasions, and we look at the first few verses of our reading here, when authority needs to be exercised within the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Now, try to imagine the unlikely scenario of two people or groups in Penrath Baptist falling out with each other. Now, Lord forbid that should ever happen, but maybe once or twice over a 90-year period that may happen. What do we do? How do we exercise authority in the body of Christ? Well, there are three questions we should ask ourselves to respond to this. First of all, how do we handle conflict? Well, the answer that Jesus gives is when a member of the church offends us, we communicate with them in a direct way. We go straight to them. We don't gossip, beat around the bush, send emails, do a blog about them. We go straight to them and we talk face to face. We do it in person. We do not do it confrontationally because we're all God's children and accepted by him. No need to feel our standing is destroyed by conflict or criticism. It's a fact of life. We have to be grown up about it. Another question. How do we make this initial contact with the brother or sister with whom we are in contention? Well, attitude is vital in handling these contentious issues. Remember, the person you're going to see is a brother or sister in Christ, equally loved, equally honored, equally precious to our Father in heaven. Go initially alone, with love, so as not to embarrass or escalate the situation. And go in prayer. Why am I stressing this? Because this is in the context of experiencing the power of authority in the body of Christ, which brings heaven's rule to earth. Third question, what do we hope to achieve? Well, you don't necessarily want the person to agree with your point. After all, you might be wrong in what you're seeing as the error. But you do want to be listened to, and the word listen is used three times in verses 15, 16, and 17. Come with these attitudes of grace and humility, and the power of authority in relationships in the church will be unleashed, which builds a healthy and strong church, which is powerful in God's hands to bring heaven's rule to earth. If this fails, the word of God does say, well, take witnesses. If that fails, go to the whole church. If that fails, treat them as an unbeliever, a pagan, and a tax collector. Now, Matthew's writing this gospel. He used to be a tax collector. He's thinking of the worst possible insult. Treat them as a tax collector. Why? So that the situation can be resolved. Through that shock tactic, the ultimate goal is always restoration and reconciliation. Is the power of authority. It builds. It doesn't destroy. The aim of exercising godly authority is full restoration. Even after exclusion, it's possible for restoration to take place. Binding and loosing. We can't play a game here. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Relationships are important. Attitudes are essential. Relationships can't trundle along in a bad way. It eats away at the body of Christ. The power of authority exercised in good relationships brings the power and rule and authority of heaven to earth. Now, neglectless authority, and it will destroy the mission of the church. Abuse this authority, and it will destroy the mission of the church. It has to be used in a godly way. The power of authority brings heaven's rule to earth. And then secondly, moving on in our verses, the power of alignment brings heaven's harmony to earth. Now, Jesus combines reference to harmony between heaven and earth in his use of authority and alignment. Very important to have agreement and connection here. Authority exercised on earth is confirmed from heaven. We've dealt with that. Prayer offered on earth is answered by our Father in heaven. If we align, if we agree, if two of you on earth agree, it will be done. Alignment with the will of our Father in heaven. Prayer is aligning ourselves with God and his will. This amazing statement presupposes one thing, that we are praying in the way that Jesus taught us to pray. We've prayed that prayer tonight. We call it the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying in the right way for the kingdom to come, for heaven's rule on earth, is the way to pray with alignment. So does this bring a special definition and focus of what we agree to pray for? Yes. The kingdom coming. Yes, it does. It means we pray for the kingdom to come. So does it mean that we pray, Lord, please use Penrith Baptist to reach hundreds of people with the good news of Jesus and to bless all the churches in the neighborhood? Well, yes, it does. That's a kingdom prayer. Of course we want churches to grow. Of course we want people to be saved. That's a kingdom prayer. Yes, it's right. Does it mean, Lord, please make us the biggest and richest church in Wales? Probably not. It's not a kingdom prayer. Does it mean, Lord, help all the men in Penrath grow hipster beards so they can be more effective in reaching the upwardly mobile young men in the community? Possibly. Possibly. If it's a kingdom prayer, if it's for the sake of the kingdom, the sake of reaching people who can't be reached. Let me bring this home from some other scriptures. King David, when he realigned his life with the will of God, after committing adultery and a consequent murder, after he realigned his life in Psalm 51, create a pure heart in me, O Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. After then, he was hailed as Israel's greatest king. After those disasters. This is the power of alignment. When Jesus aligned his will with that of his Father in heaven, even though it was against his preferred route, he achieved atonement for the sins of the whole world. Matthew 26. Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Alignment with the will of the Father. Jesus was a human being as well as being God. He wanted to avoid it, but he knew he couldn't avoid it, so he aligned himself with the will of the Father. When the Jerusalem church aligned themselves with the Holy Spirit for the greater good of an expansive understanding of the gospel in Acts 15, then the gospel was propelled beyond the boundary of the familiar Judaism to the rest of the world. Alignment with the will of the Father. Sometimes common sense can be the enemy of aligning ourselves with God's will. Sometimes, not all the time. We can't just rely on our own abilities. And when the Galatian Christians aligned their steps with those of the Holy Spirit, there was an abundance of reaping. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Chapter 6, verse 8, sowing to please the Spirit, from the Spirit we will reap eternal life. If two of you agree, alignment with the will of the Father, the kingdom prayer, your kingdom come, Lord, it will be done. And then thirdly, the power of authenticity. For where two or three come together, Jesus says, in my name, there am I with them. The power of authenticity brings the presence of Christ to earth. The authentic presence of Jesus. I'm a first generation Christian. I didn't hear the gospel till my teens and responded the first time I heard it and joined the church where I'd heard the gospel. And I went along to a Sunday evening service not long after I'd become a Christian, still in my teens. On this particular occasion, there was a man preaching on the raising of Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11. And partway through his sermon, brilliant preacher, I was gripped by what he was saying. Partway through, he suddenly stopped and he said, I can't go any further. I can't say anything else. God's presence is here. And he invited us to quietly move through to the church hall at the back. And we knelt and we prayed for an hour and a half. People were crying, repenting, confessing their sin. I thought church was always like this. It's not. I thought it was. But there was something about the presence of Jesus in that meeting. Every time we gather, we should expect to meet with Jesus. The rabbis had a saying, when 10 people sit together and occupy themselves with the Torah, Old Testament scriptures, the Shekinah, the glory of God, abides among them. It was a rabbinic saying. The glory of God that was absent from the second temple was manifest when Jews were gathered around studying and obeying his word. What Jesus says here is, when two or three are gathered, I am with them. He replaces the Torah with himself. I, my authentic presence and my glory. To him, Paul writes, be glory in the church. When we gather as church, we are much more than the sum of our levels of holiness. Thank the Lord. There is something about his power and his presence exponentially increases the sense of glory and power. Because Christ is in our midst, we are authentic church, the body, the expression of Christ. We incarnate his presence in our communities. If you study church history, you will learn that Christians in the first two centuries of the church, since its birth, were the only ones in the Roman Empire who would attend to those suffering from plagues or leprosy. They were left to die by virtually every other community, apart from Christians, who would stay with them and nurse them and care for them. They were mocked. They were criticized, stupid people, consigning themselves to death through leprosy or plague. And yet as the years and the decades went on, those mockers became Christians because they sensed in those Christians who abandoned themselves to the care of others in the name of Christ, they experienced the authentic presence of Jesus. A book that I found very stimulating in recent years is one called To Change the World by James Davidson Hunter. And I finish with this. In his book, he writes these words. When the word of life is enacted within the body of Christ, not only does the word become flesh, but an entire lexicon and grammar becomes flesh in a living narrative that unfolds in the body of Christ. Authenticity. We are, in a sense, as the body of Christ, with him as our head, an incarnation of the presence of Jesus. This wonderful gathering of the body of Christ here in Bangor is an authentic representation and incarnation of the presence of Jesus. Never underestimate what God might do through us. It's his church. He will build it, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. We did pray earlier that you would sink it deeper than our hearts and minds and bring a response of faith from us. We pray that now, Lord, in these few moments towards the end of our gathering. Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, move among us in power. Bring us to a point, Lord, of humility, brokenness, gratitude, love, adoration. Because, Lord Jesus, this is your church, and you are here. And I pray for my friends, Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in this wonderful expression of your church, that there will be blessing. There would be people being added to the number here, really, those who are being saved. There'll be healing and reconciliation. That you would bless and anoint Fred, the leadership team, the deacons. We pray, Lord, for great blessing and effective ministry. Why, Lord? We will experience the power of authority, alignment and authenticity. For the sake of your kingdom, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.